This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. Soulful Living, right? That's the title of my show. That's how I move through the world. And I would say the guests that share their wisdom move through the world in the same way. And many of them, their path includes a mission of helping others elevate their soul, reconnect with their soul, answer a different call. My guest today, Sarah Wiseman, is definitely one of those people. Sarah had an experience years ago, a near-death experience, that caused a tremendous shift in the way she moves through the world. I'm going to let her talk about that because I know I won't do it justice. And she has since tapped into her own intuition, really helping others learn how to live an intuitive life and listen to messages from the divine, which happens to be the title of her latest book. So welcome to Soulful Living, Sarah.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Terry.
You're welcome. And I love your book. I have loved every aspect of it. I do get the the emails that come along with it. And it's just been such a refreshing journey for me to experience it. So thank you for putting it all together. And let's give the listeners a little bit of background about that.
Yeah. So I've been doing channeled writing for quite a while. And this book is sort of like the culmination of the biggest, most complete messages that I've been receiving from the divine or from the guides. And so I was just really, I received these messages over a couple months period during the classic, like 4 a.m. in the morning. you're just like, no, not again. But so that was kind of that journey. And I would just sit there and type on my laptop. You know, I just get up, the whole house was quiet. And I kind of don't really know what I'm receiving until I look at it later. But a lot of times when I'm in that kind of a process where, you know, stuff's coming through every morning, I don't even really look at it. I just write it down and then and wait until it's complete. And so I was kind of very stunned when I saw, you know, what was there and what the information is. It's kind of more like a guidebook for living from your soul, maybe, is how I might put it. So I was really excited to be able to offer that to folks and to start teaching from it.
It's really beautiful. And I love that in the beginning of the book, you talk about how to use the book. And, you know, you suggest you can read it from cover to cover, or maybe you're one of those people that opens it up and just kind of looks for the message of the day. Mm-hmm. I personally did both, right? I read it. I read a lot of it. And then all of a sudden I was guided to just kind of flip it open. And it was so amazing to me how each message was so intuitively in line with where I was in this moment.
Mm-hmm. I use the book that way too. And it's kind of interesting because I don't have the sense that I wrote it. It's really mm-hmm. definitely, it just came through me. And so I'm always surprised, just as you are, like, oh, what am I going to get to reflect on today? Or yeah, with what's going on in my life. Yeah.
Well, and I was curious, like you kind of alluded to it, but you don't really remember what you wrote until you go back and reflect on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's true even in meditation. You know, sometimes we'll do mm-hmm. meditation and then we just won't even, we'll know what we received in the moment, but it just sort of becomes part of us. And then we can't track on it 2 days later. Like, I don't know what that was. So, yeah.
It's funny, I tell my husband, because I have tons of journals downstairs, and I tell my husband, boy, when I go, the kids are going to open this stuff and they're going to say, what the heck was mom thinking? You know, I mean, do you ever think like that? Do you ever think, oh my gosh, when people get a hold of this, they're either going to love it and be so in tune to it, or they're going to think, wow, where did that come from?
I know, with my own journaling, because I have journals going all the time, but I actually don't keep them. I treat them more like, I don't know, prayers, or I just use them to work out my thoughts and feelings and ideas, and then I just let them go. So that's been kind of cool. It's like, it's just like, I know there's going to be, it hasn't ever helped me to go back and look. So I like the idea of just making it this place you can work out whatever you're thinking about or feeling, and then just let it go.
Oh, I love that. It kind of inspires me to want to have a bonfire in the backyard, because I've never looked back at any of them. They're all just in a box. Yeah. And I think I've even posted with my community before. So do I keep them or do I let them go? I love that idea. That's really an inspiration for me. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, and you also teach, you know, I want to get back to the book, but I also want to share with the listeners, you know, you teach intuitive workshops all over. You have quite a few online offerings. Give us a little bit of some background on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I started teaching because in my own personal journey, when I was trying to figure out all of this stuff, how it worked, I know that there were lots and lots of really wonderful teachers, but for whatever reason, I just couldn't find anybody. And you know, back then, internet was not as developed as now, so it could have been just that. But so I kind of began to journey on my own path of like, okay, I'm gonna just see what happens when I experiment with different things. And then I would kind of, you know, write down what I had figured out. And I began to develop kind of my own way of doing intuition and my own language for it. And now when I look back, I think that perhaps I was blocked from finding a teacher because I was meant to create. It's not really a new system, but it's a modified system. It's mm-hmm. different. And so I think that's part of my offering to the world, is like showing people this really simple way to use the intuitive tools.
Well, and isn't that really the truth of what intuition is about? It's simple. To me, I look at it as mm-hmm. it's very simple. Once you understand it, that our human mind and our ego wants to overcomplicate everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think that's interesting that people often think it's so difficult or it's so special, or you have to have a particular, you know, gift you're born with. And really it's just learning the tools and then starting to, you know, allowing yourself to trust. And once you get over that trust hurdle, you just can use these skills all the time, and it really betters your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I think there's fear around it. And I often wonder, like, what is there to be afraid of? And again, I think that goes back to ego.
Yeah. And I think ego, and I do think that there are, like, sometimes when I look at a ton of, say, like, paranormal or ghost, that whole field, and that is more dark based, or it can be dark based as opposed to light spirit. And so I think people have the idea that, oh, if they study anything at all, they're going to attract the dark. But of course, as you know, it's not at all the case. We can choose intentionally. If we're working in the light, you know, we get to choose the frequencies or dimensions we work in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and do you offer private sessions still if people wanted to work with you directly?
Yeah, I do. Not a lot. I used to do that so much, but now my focus is really the group training, which we do by distance. That's my that's my great, great love. But I do. Yeah, I do have some private sessions.
Well, and going back to what you were saying about not being able to find, you know, the right teacher, I've certainly been there myself. Most of the things that I've done, I've just kind of done on my own because I couldn't necessarily find the right person to resonate with me. I also think that we are kind of led to learn and study in the line of teach what you want to learn, right? So if if you're in depth into something, you're going to want to share it and teach. So I think it's really beautiful that that's how you really came to grow and evolve.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I feel I'm quite obsessed with this work. It's like the only thing I'm super interested in. And I think that that's kind of the way it is with people that get, I mean, it doesn't even have to be about intuition or spirituality, but with anything, when there's something that attracts us so much, that's our life's work. That does tend to mean, you know, that's our calling, that's our path, and that's what we're meant to share with other people.
Yeah, I agree. Well, as it turns out, I'm opening up the page here. I opened up the book to lesson 6. You learn at the pace you can handle, right? So how is that
right.
appropriate? That's just so funny. Amazing. But you really do. I mean, and I've loved each lesson. And I love this one. You know, you learn at the pace that you can handle. Ad lib on that. Give us a little depth on that particular lesson. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, the book has 66 lessons, and each one of them takes you through the idea of we come in as souls into our human bodies, and we're here like for a particular task or a particular path of learning our soul lessons. And this one, lesson 6, you learn at the pace you can handle. It's speaking to this idea that there's no race or there's no, we're not forced to go on in any certain speed. We really arrive and we get exactly what we need. You know, some people might get really difficult soul lessons because perhaps that's what their souls are ready for. And some people might get really easy, an easy lifetime. We're each given exactly what we need in a pace that we can do. And that's very comforting. Sometimes when, you know, things start to get a little wild in our lives, it's really comforting to know like, okay, I'm receiving this because I can move through this. This is just the soul lesson that is right for me.
Yeah, I love that. And at the end of that, at the end of each lesson, you have a bit of an exercise or a contemplation that we can take out into the day to really help, hopefully, elevate our soul and awaken us even further, wherever we are. And what I also found about that particular lesson was I don't need to compare myself to other people, and I don't have to compare myself to the person I was yesterday.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. I'm reading that and I'm like, right. Mm-hmm. I don't have to compare myself to the person I was yesterday. This is a new time for me every day. So I really appreciated that lesson. And I want to talk about a couple of the other lessons. Is that okay?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So I really loved lesson 15, which was we come in as pure beings. Okay. I have to rewind for a second. In the beginning, you talk about how we come in and we make these choices. You mentioned the word choice a few minutes ago as well, right? Mm-hmm. But we made these choices before we came in is one theory of how we're going to move through this life. Can you elaborate on that?
Mm-hmm. So let's see, I've got to backtrack a little to myself. So when I was doing all my own processing and I couldn't find any teachers, I would go to these places such as Akashic Records or Life Between Lives in my meditation, but I didn't know that's what they were called. It was like a couple years later, I got Michael Newton's book, Life Between Lives, where he, or Destiny of Souls, where he hypnotized all these people and they all recall going to these same dimensional places. So that just really confirmed for me this idea of, before we come into this lifetime, we decide as souls in Akashic Record land or whatever dimension you want to call that, we decide, okay, I'm going to get this body, I'm going to be born into this culture, I'm going to be male or female, or, you know, we decide everything. And we decide because, okay, this lifetime is going to give me the opportunity to work on these particular soul lessons that I, as a soul, you know, want to figure out and want to experience in the human realm.
And where do you think we are? And maybe this is getting too deep for this conversation. Where do you think we are before we come in here? You know, where do you think our soul resides?
I think that in this, like Michael Newton called it, the life between lives, but my experience in meditation before I knew that term, it's sort of like Akashic Record. A lot of people see a building, or there's some very common like portal areas that we go to in meditation. And I think that we are of spirit and we relate in spirit. But I think we're somewhere in that realm. I don't really know where we are.
Actually, then, I don't know.
Well, and then wherever we come from, we come in as pure beings. And in that lesson 15, I love that first paragraph. When you were a baby, you lived in a state of pure consciousness, interrupted only by the needs of your body for food, warmth, and comfort. And it's funny because I always tell parents, babies are just in la la land until their physical body shakes them up somehow. And I mean, you go on in this particular lesson and you talk about how there's nothing more important than your total immersion into everything.
Right. Yeah. That state of being the baby, just being in pure consciousness and awe and connected as one to everything. And then of course the disruptors for the baby, the human, you know, the body needs. It's like we come in conscious, and then our culture and our you know, mainstream paradigm take us out of that, and then we spend, you know, we spend the first part of our lives getting acculturized, and then we hopefully spend the next part of our life getting back to that state of being as much as we can.
Yeah, I really loved that that statement. There's nothing more important than your total immersion in everything. To me, it's just really being present with everything and, you know, letting it show you some joy as opposed to letting it show you the lack that's there, right?
Right.
I just loved that. And then, okay, so then I'm fast forwarding to lesson 32. The mystery beckons, and that's really spoke to me too. Of course, I'm all about mysticism and intuition, and that as you are, I really loved it. I loved this particular sentence. The great leap is not into the unknown. The great leap is into the mystery. So give the listener some idea about that particular lesson.
Well, it's funny that you just chose that, and I just got a really big chill when you said that, but I posted a few days ago on Facebook that exact quote, and with it was a picture of my son, who was probably like 15 at the time, and he's on the water up West Coast, Puget Sound. It's sort of this protected bay, and he's on a rubber inner tube, and then for some reason, I don't even know what we were doing that day, he's got this giant beach umbrella, and he's managed to like sail with it, you know, on this giant inner tube with this giant beach umbrella, and he's way out there in the water. And I just think that's something about our, how we just explore, really not expecting, we don't know what to expect. I'm sure right. when he got on the inner tube, he didn't expect, oh, I'm going to take off and sail out into the middle of the bay. Right. We're like, come back. And it was all fine. It worked out okay. But, you know, it's the mystery. It's like, oh, just see what happens. Like, just don't worry. Don't have fear. Just go forward and see what your experience is.
It's funny, when my husband and I got together, we went on our first trip together, and he's the ultimate researcher and planner. And to a degree, I absolutely love that. And I said, well, what about unexpected stuff? Because I'm like when my kids were little, I had clothes in the car, and sometimes I would call a friend on a Friday night and say, hey, my kids and I are coming up north. I hope you're mm-hmm. ready for us, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to just be open. So I would say, well, what about the unexpected? What if we do this? So, we did one trip where we did a 3-week trip from the northern part of Florida all the way up to Pennsylvania, and we winged it. We just mm-hmm. decided we're open to everything, and it was pretty incredible. And that's kind of what this lesson reminded me of, because you talk about, especially the last sentence, second to last sentence, was, now throw the map away and start mm-hmm. walking. And mm-hmm, I thought mm-hmm. it was really a beautiful opportunity to, I mean, yeah, we need maps for a little bit of guidance, but we can allow ourselves to step into the mystery. We're going to be taken care of.
Yeah. And I think this practice of, and it talks about throwing society's maps away, which is yeah. all of our misbeliefs of mainstream culture, like you got to do it this way or you got to do it that way. I'm really interested in this idea of flow, where we surrender to guidance and we detach from any particular way it's got to look or be, mm-hmm. and we just allow the universe to take us on our path, and we just follow the little, you know, the breadcrumbs of synchronicity. We just follow them. And I really am, that's my practice now. And it doesn't mean we don't have intentions or things we want to do. We just set our intention, and then we say to the universe, okay, here's what I think I'd like to do. Take me there, or take me somewhere better than that, that I can't imagine yet. I'm open, just, and I'm detached. I don't have attachment as to how it's going to happen. Just show me where you'd like me to go. And that's what I think is a really interesting way to live right now.
I love that you brought that up. The two words that I've been focusing on this week mm-hmm. are non-attachment and surrender. And I think that from the ego's perspective, from the human perspective, it's really hard sometimes to just surrender, because we are pre-programmed to live a certain way from society mm-hmm. anyway, you know, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. wonderful words. Absolutely love them. So we're getting down to the wire here. We only have about 3 minutes left. It goes by so fast, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. Yeah. And it's so fun too. So yeah,
I know. So we'll have to make sure we do part two in the future so we can share more. I want to talk a little bit about some of the free workshops that you have going on. So listeners, again, I'm talking with Sarah Wiseman. You can find all of Sarah's information here at the Soulful Living page. Follow her stuff, grab her book, get the free course. I think the first course I ever took of yours was through Daily Om. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. And it was fabulous. I really loved it. Give us a little bit of some ideas about the free classes. And
yeah. So I have, for the book, I have a free study guide, and you kind of want to have the book, when you're doing it, just cause it's more rich, but you actually don't have to buy the book to do the free course. And you can just sign up. It's on my website, sarahwiseman.com. And, it's an 11-week online course in spiritual community. And it just takes you through a lot of the ideas that we've been talking about today. And, I think about 2,000 people are in it. I have 3 sections going, and I'll just keep adding sections as more people join. But it's a pretty, it's very nice, intentional community.
I love it. Well, and I wanted to read to you what I've also been focusing on loving kindness. And in lesson five, I want to read the last exercise, if you don't mind.
Yes, sure.
I'm going to post it on my social media and I'll make sure I tag you on it when we're up here. But as you engage in the world today, hold the intention to fully notice every person who crosses your path. Look at each person directly in the eyes or observe each person with compassion. Another way is to have a human interaction with each person. Say hello, show kindness, notice what happens when you show up to others in this way without separation. I loved that.
It's nice.
That was beautiful. So I thank you and I thank your spirit messengers for sharing all of this. I love for my guests to leave the listeners with something they can take out into the day, elevate their soul, increase their intuition. What would that be for you, Sarah?
I believe we're collective soul and we're moving towards elevated oneness. And that's where we're going, which is very, very exciting.
It sure is. Again, I thank you so much for joining me here. And we definitely need to do part two, Sarah.
Excellent. I'd love to do that, Terry. Thank you.